Today's budget claiming that millions will pay more while millionaires pay less. The Chancellor's slashing the top rate of tax from 50p to 45p next April, while the tax threshold is increasing to just over £9,000. Shadow Chancellor Ed Balls says it's a colossal gamble and a con.
The question you have to decide is, if families are under pressure, youth unemployment is rising, people are saying their budget's falling, is it the right time to gamble giving taxpayers on the top massive tax cuts?
There are no further changes to fuel and alcohol duty, but tobacco's rising by 5% above inflation, putting 37 pence on a packet of cigarettes. The Chancellor's also increasing stamp duty for people buying homes worth more than £2 million. In other news today, the French president says a suspect accused of killing seven people may have been planning another attack today. Police are surrounding a block of flats in Toulouse where the man's been cornered since this morning. A British woman held hostage by Somali pirates for more than 6 months has been freed and has arrived safely in Kenya. Judith Tebbutt was seized and taken to Somalia. Her husband was shot dead. In her hometown of Bishop Stortford, they're pleased she's free.
I did know her by sight and we talked occasionally, but that's all. I think it's terrific news. I never thought she'd get out of it alive.
She'll probably be happy to see her family, nearest friends, and then eventually when she feels better, we'll have a big party, I think.
Fabrice Muamba's heart stopped before 78 minutes after his collapse during Bolton's FA Cup tie at Tottenham. He's still in intensive care, but is improving. Bolton's team doctor, Jonathan Tobin, says it took quite an effort to get his heart started again.
Heaven knows why, but Fabrice had in total 15 shocks. He had a further 12 shocks in the ambulance. We were fearing the worst. I was fearing the worst. I thought, well, certainly we wouldn't get the sort of recovery that we've had.
And that FA Cup quarter-final with Tottenham will be restaged on Tuesday. That's the latest. I'm Tim Jones.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
You know the bed feels warmer, sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color and do the things I want. Kill you makes you stronger.
Oh, FM Travel News with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood.
Slight traffic on the A128 Ingrave Road northbound in Brentwood around Wilson's Corner. Slow traffic on the A128 Ongar Road southbound at the High Street Junction. Shenfield Road is also slow westbound in Brentwood at the Ongar Road Junction. High Street's busy in Brentwood westbound, and it's also busy at the B185 Kings Road Junction. Eastbound on the Kings Road itself and westbound on the High Street itself. Slow traffic on the A114 Baddow Bypass inbound in Chelmsford at the Army and Navy. And there's very slow traffic on the A13 eastbound between the Five Bells Interchange in Basildon and the Sadler's Farm roundabout. There's delays on the Metropolitan line due to an incident at Wembley Park.
Phoenix FM Travel with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood. Creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222864.
You're listening to Gabby on Drive. Welcome if you've recently joined me, and if you want to tweet me, you can do so. I am mindful to move. But stay tuned, don't go anywhere, because I'm going to be speaking to Ben Benson. He's already here in the studio getting all revved up. We're both getting on our soapbox. Basically, we're going to be discussing economic issues. So make sure you stay tuned for Ben Benson, author of Seven Laws of Wealth.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Driving instructors required for Brentwood and Billericay areas. Why not train to become an instructor with Easy 2 Pass Driving School? If you're looking for a change of career, you could benefit from a company with over 20 years' experience in instructor training. And there's also the offer of work within the school when you pass the exam. Contact Easy to Pass Free on 0800 88 18745 for your rewarding career. 0800 88 18745.
50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties, Beatles, Stones, Beach Boys, Tamla Motown, rock and roll, soul, whatever your bag is, we have it all on the Sunday replay. So take a journey through the decades, every Sunday afternoon between 2 and 4 on Phoenix FM to enjoy the music of your life. Brought to you by Kirby's Coaches, who've been creating smiles for miles for the past 60 years.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
Now, this evening at 7:30, Rock Atlas is going to be presented at the Hermit Club on Chenfield Road, Brentwood, the UK and Ireland's first guidebook to music locations. Essex author David Roberts has researched hundreds of great rock music landmarks and collected the stories behind them. It's £4 to go along, £3 for concessions, and it's called Rock Atlas. You can call the box office on 01206 573948 or get all of those details again, plus lots more events coming up for the remainder of March and into April at allthews.phoenixfm.com/local events.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton. Your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210 414.
Here's NSYNC, and then I'll be speaking to Ben.
Would you be my girlfriend? Would you be my girlfriend?
You
Hello, you're listening to Gabby on Drive. I'm with you until 6 o'clock, and as promised, I'm pleased to say that Ben is joining me in the studio. Ben, let me check that your microphone is working.
It is.
Wonderful. It is. I can hear you. Oh, well, how did you know it was?
I could just tell.
You could just guess?
Yeah, exactly.
Even though it's not numbered up, I don't think.
No, I just knew it'd work.
Oh, you knew it would work. Oh, wonderful. It's because you're speaking into it. Okay, Ben, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
Gorgeous day.
It is a lovely day.
Amazing.
A brilliant day. And we're going to make it even better now with our discussion, hopefully.
Great. Well, we'll do our best.
You're here today to talk about economic issues.
Well, a few, yeah.
Or wealth, or, you know, basically around that area. We're talking business, aren't we?
Really, we are. But we're also talking about how the man in the street or the woman in the street can take advantage of the current economic climate. Because I think that there are lots of things that we can do still, in spite of the situation. But I think part of the problem is that there's a lot of people out there that don't really understand why the current economic downturn occurred and what they can do about it. So one of the things that we say in our seminars is that in the new economy, only three employees will be required for a successful company: a man, a dog, and a computer. The man will be there to feed the dog, but the dog will be there to stop the man from touching the computer. And what we mean by that essentially is technology is actually taking over in a big way. If you look down, just a couple of weeks ago, I went into my local bank to pay some money into my account. 12 months ago, I could go into my bank and there would be 8 to 10 people sitting behind glass sections ready to serve. Today, one person sitting behind a glass section and one person overseeing 9 paying in machines. Right?
You know what I'm talking about. You definitely don't bank at my bank. Well, but my bank is getting more and more that way, if you see, you know, less and less people to actually go and speak to.
Well, I bet you've got a queue, whatever it is you're doing. If you want to deal with a real person, you've got a queue now.
Yeah.
You know, and you look, it's the same situation in supermarkets. Look down the checkout aisle of any supermarket and slowly you're starting to see more and more conveyor belt tellers they're getting less and less, and they're actually being overtaken by self-service checkouts.
I personally prefer the self-service checkouts.
Some do, some don't.
Only because I'm a very, very fast packer and all of that.
Well, I know that. I'm sure of that. But you can see the situation, can't
you?
And now,
but like, in the banks, I agree, there's certain services.
Well, let me tell you what the next thing is. The next thing is we're going to see more and more filling stations becoming 24 hours. Not because they have more staff, but because they have more unmanned computers. It'll be a situation where you go up and you'll put your credit card in.
Yeah.
More of them are becoming like that. Why is that? You know, and I think that in the next 3 to 5 years, if you work for a large organization, and what I mean by that is an organization that's, say, got 500 or more staff, if you work for a company like that, you will be in the minority. Because more and more people are having to do their own thing. They're having to create their own situation and they're having to create their own path to make a living. And there are ways to do that well, though, and there are ways to do it where it's not going to work. And that's really what I talk about in the book. You know, we've got to find a way that is effective, not just efficient, that is going to give us longevity for the future.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, I'd like to share with you just recently. I mean, I can even sort of be a witness to this because and I kind of knew that this was going to happen, start to happen in gyms. They're going to start doing away with reception staff, because really you can just bleep your own gym card in. Like, sure. You don't really need to say hello, have a good workout, and then as lovely as the reception staff are. And, you know, if you've got all of these vending machines, you can even buy yourself a drink, and, you know, so really why do you need? And they've cut the reception staff hours in half.
Sure.
So both of our receptionists at my local gym, both of the receptionists now have had to find different, you know, they've got to look for another job because they need full-time hours. They can't just work part-time. And a lot of people find it really, really hard juggling two different, because a lot of people are doing that. They're juggling two part-time jobs, but that's not easy.
No, especially when you've got kids and all the demands of current life and all that sort of thing. It makes it really, really difficult for people. people to do that.
Even if you are only working the same working hour week as if you were working a full-time job, you have to remember that you're basically spending all of that time getting ready for two jobs.
Exactly.
So you're getting ready from work and you're leaving work and getting home and getting unready, if you like, is going to double in time.
You're absolutely right, Gabby. And, you know, new technology has been dissolving companies, large and small, for some time. But the hard facts remain, if you're an employee, if you work for a large organisation, then someone somewhere is probably trying to do your job faster and cheaper, maybe in another country, through technology. And that's, it's a new reality, but it's also a reality that's going to succeed. So what we have to do, I often say, people say to me, well, what can I do about this situation? And often they'll say, I don't know how to navigate this situation. And my answer to that is, don't wish for less problems, develop more skills. You know, you have to become more resourceful. You're going to have to do that. So, you know, how do you become more resourceful? Well, I think the first thing that people need to understand is, what does structural unemployment mean? Structural unemployment is where a company manages to maintain its output through less staff, you know, usually through technology, a better business model, or innovation. It's usually one of those three things that creates that structural unemployment. See, the subprime fallout on Wall Street and the housing bubble that we had in the UK came as a result of structural unemployment. It didn't cause it. It simply exacerbated the situation. So is it
because the people at the top are getting greedier?
I think there's an issue there as well. There's the issue that we can talk about the redistribution of income. You know, we should tax people that make, you know, a lot of money much more. And I think, yeah, we should do that. But I also think we shouldn't rest on our laurels and wait for the government to do that, because they ain't going to do it on both sides of the water.
Why are people, you know, if you were making a decision and you thought, right, okay, I could either if I basically get this piece of equipment or this system and that does the job cheaper than me paying someone to do the job, that member of staff I've already got that's doing the job, you know, how could someone make that decision? Oh, but, you know, because in effect they're basically saying to a person, oh, by the way, I've replaced your job into a machine's job, so you've lost your job.
Mm.
I mean, that is terrible.
How can people do that?
That we're doing that to people. There's people that are aiming to put people out of jobs, and they probably think they're brilliant because they're meant to be the innovators. They're making all of this new technology. Look what we've done. We're making our lives all so much easier, but we're not, because we're making our lives all so much poorer.
Absolutely.
And it's the people on those sorts of incomes that are going to go and spend the money in the retail, you know, in the retail shops, and just spend money in general. So if you make the poor poorer, they're going to put less back into the economy themselves.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things to answer. There's two questions there, I think, that you just addressed. The first one was the issue of technology. You know, there's a scene in Jurassic...
Do you embrace it, Ben? What do you think of it?
I think you have to. I don't think we've got a choice.
No, we have to. But what's your feeling about it?
Well, let
do
me
you
give
think
you...
it's all getting a bit ridiculous?
Well,
really?
I think what we need to do is embrace it, but there's a way to do it, and there's
using
a way
it
to
in
be,
the right way. You
there's
think?
A way to be resourceful in how you do it. There's a scene in Jurassic Park, the film Jurassic Park, where they get on the island where this mad professor
well,
is created.
It's not going to be the place, Jurassic.
No,
Park,
no, he's created this this island with all these dinosaurs moving around, and the people get off the aeroplane or the helicopter, and it's the first time they've ever seen these dinosaurs that this man's been able to recreate. And everyone's in awe, and they're looking around, seeing this huge, like, Diplodocus walk by. And one guy says, turns to another, and he says, just because we can, no one's asked the question, should we? And it's exactly the same with technology. Just because we can, just because we've got the ability to do it, no one's asked the question, should we? And so, but I think that the real issue is that in spite of what's going on, people need to learn to step up. They need to say, right, this is what I'm going to do about the situation for myself, and here's how I'm going to make a difference. And I think in the next part of the interview, I'll talk about specifics, what some of these things that people can do. We've talked about the problem. Let's talk about the solution
in
a few minutes.
Right. Well, just so that I let what you've said so far digest to our listeners, because it's all quite a lot to take in, but it's good stuff to take in, definitely. I'm going to play a song, and then Ben and I will be discussing how to hopefully help the situation. So ending on a positive note. That was Ease Springs, No Sleep Tonight. You're listening to Gabby on Drive. I'll certainly be getting some sleep tonight because Ben Benson is here and I'm soaking up his knowledge, so it's requiring lots of concentration. I'm that sort of learner. I just let everything try and sink in.
Well, you've just identified the first principle of becoming resourceful in a new economy.
Yeah.
Learn a new skill. You know, be willing to open your mind to new opportunities. And I guess the real question there, though, is something that I think is important that people understand, and that is this. Understand the difference between consumers and producers, right? And the problem is, in our society today, we've got a ton of consumers and not enough producers. We're just not producing enough to put ourselves back in in the race in terms of the global economy. So how do you become?
Yeah, I mean, they always say that the UK's, we're getting more and more stuff from abroad because no one is making it.
Well, we're not making a lot of stuff ourselves. So we need to become more resourceful and we need to become producers again.
Yeah.
So how do you become a producer? Well, there's a few things that I think that we can talk about that will help people understand how to do that, specific principles and stuff. But one of the things is, if you want to create a better situation for yourself, there are three questions I think we should ask ourselves. And the first question is, what do I do well? Now, only you will know the answer to that question. What do you do well? If you're unsure, then ask a few people that you know. Perhaps not family. They're probably not the best people because they're going to tell you what you want to hear. But the first question is, what do you do well? The second question is, what do I do better than most people? Right? What do I do well, but what do I do better than most people? Because you've got to have some sort of competitive advantage.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is, how can I take those first two and create value for people in the marketplace?
Yeah.
Now, value creation is something that everyone can identify with because we can all do things. We can all offer certain things that will make other people's lives easier. But you've got to identify those three questions. Number one, the first one was, what do I do well? Two, what do I do better than most people? And number three, how can I take the first two and create value for people? Another good question that I often say to people is, what would you do if you knew you weren't going to be paid for it? Because often the answer in that question obviously usually identifies something that you're going to be good at because it's something that you naturally love to do.
Yeah.
So you do your thing and you do it really well. And it's because you've spent time and you learned how to do it.
You've got to love what you do.
Yeah,
definitely.
And you've made a difference.
You need to be passionate about it.
You've got to love
what you
do.
And it makes you so much easier even selling it.
Because you have to be passionate
if you're not,
about it.
If you're just, if you're just selling anything, really, be it a product, an experience, or whatever, and you're not passionate about it, I doubt there's any skydiver trainers that don't love skydiving.
Well, this is the other thing, Gabby.
You have to love your job.
A really important point to remember, though, it's not just enough to love it. It's not enough, right? And that's one of the things that I point out in the book. It's important to have passion for something. It's important to be good at it. But it also has to be commercially viable. It's easy to say, well, I love doing this thing.
Oh, yeah, you need to create something that's got value.
Absolutely.
I think that's what it's all about. It's creating something that someone will buy, that someone will be like, do you know what? That is going to benefit me in such a way that I'm willing to spend money on that.
Exactly. That's right.
And then I think, from that step, perhaps I'm wrong, you might disagree with me, but from that step, that's then when you need to decide how you're going to go about selling it.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And, one of the other things is that I think it's really important for people to understand what value is. And value really is the intersection of three things. It's the demand for what you do. The demand, there's got to be a demand for what you do, not a need, a demand, because there's a huge difference between the two. We don't need iPods, do we, to live? We don't need them, but there is a demand. So you've got to have a demand. Number one is demand. The demand for what you do. Number two is your ability to do it. You've got to be able to execute that thing and do it well. And the last one is the difficulty in replacing you. The reason why Apple are so big as a company today is because they're difficult to replace. Any company that you like, that you can think of, that you like their products or services, whatever it might be, invariably it's because they're difficult to replace.
And also, I think adding unique to that as well.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
You'd have to start bringing out, Apple computers are completely different to PCs. So you'd have to, bring out a brand new type of sort of thing that was a bit like a PC.
Yeah. Exactly. Well,
what came first?
A PC or
an Apple?
I think it was a PC just before. I think so. But to use a pun, the reason why Apple are so successful is because of their core, right? And what I mean by that is their values. And the part of their value is we want to give people a great experience. And that's why people love the product so much, because it gives them a great experience. So
they kind of, even though it's an item for work, they kind of have fun on it at the same time.
Yeah, well, I don't even think it's an item for work anymore. I mean, even Apple changed their name from Apple Computer just to Apple.
Well, I suppose they've got loads of different stuff, haven't they,
exactly.
now? Like, I suppose they have got work stuff. But then they've got the sort of leisure side as well.
It's a complete lifestyle product. Wonderful, wonderful company, and they've done a great thing. But what I'm trying to say, I guess, in all this is that everyone, you don't have to be an Apple to become successful in the world. You've just got to do something where you add value, where you're good at it. You've got to be good at it.
And
it's
unique.
Commercially
viable.
You need
to be different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially at a time like now. Perhaps before you could get away with not being so different, just doing something that, as you say, just had the value aspect.
Sure.
But I think at this present time, you've got to be different. You need to plant a brand new seed into the consumer's head. So you need to kind of come up with something that the consumer's like, I've never seen that before, or I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, or it's just a new business model. It can be a business offering a service or a product that we've always had, but the business model, the way that we execute it and bring it to the market, is completely different. And there are a ton of companies that have done that. I'll give you an example. You know, if you think of prior to the 1990s, there were tons of places in the world where you can go and get a cup of coffee for cheap, for next to nothing. But now Starbucks came along, and now lots of other companies have come along doing coffee, tea, frappuccinos, you know, all these kind, and it will charge you the earth for it, yet people buy it. Why? Not because we need it, but because there's demand. And they do it well.
There is a demand, but only to a certain point. Would you not agree? Like, there's not going to be loads and loads of new coffee shops suddenly opening up now, because there's already that demand has been filled in a way. Unless if you are thinking about starting up a coffee shop, you could, but you've got to find a niche.
Yeah, well,
it can't be like a like a Starbucks, like a Nero. It can't be like any of your local cafes that you've already got. It's got to have a different spin on it.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I just said. If you think about it, that's what they did to become market leaders.
Like they are. Because I suppose, they are all slightly different.
Exactly. Now someone's got to do something else to become a market leader. And that's where you create the value, where you execute, where you've got to, you know, you've got to have the skills and the knowledge to do that.
Yeah.
And but it doesn't, you know, those are just two examples of lots of things we can do.
Yeah.
We don't want to confine ourselves just to big business either, because every big business, you know, started off somewhere. So everyone has an opportunity. And I also think everyone has a responsibility. If you've got a skill and you know how to add value to people, then it's your responsibility to share that with as many people as possible.
Yeah. And I think it's also about... I think that a really good thing to do at the moment, especially if you are a smaller type thing, is getting involved in the community at the same time. I think something that has a community aspect to it as well. I'm just thinking of a couple of ladies from a company that recently came in. They only started up a business just over a year ago. And they decided they set up the business in memory of their mum in the first place. They did it for that reason. And it's called Jill's Girls. It's a local business selling, vintage products. But they go and do vintage parties, around people's houses. And basically, they decided, before even taking a penny for their business, they decided that in their first year, they were going to run a raffle at each one of these parties, not for one of their own products, but it was a raffle. No doubt they would give away one of their own products, but the money raised for it, they were donating to a charity in memory of their mum.
Mm.
And they've decided that every year, and it was successful, I think they raised about £250 or whatever, and they've decided that in every year they're going to pick a charity and do these fundraisers and donate the money. And I think it's about that. I think it's about doing something good at the same time. Oh, and that's obviously the chapter in your book that says give back.
Well, it is actually.
But I haven't actually got that far yet in your book.
Well, yeah, it's the last chapter, in fact. We talk about give back. Don't let prosperity destroy generosity. And I think one of the things is that we can wait until we're successful, until we want to give back. But you'll notice that
But why wait?
Yeah, you can always be doing something. It doesn't have to be money either.
Yeah,
you
know, it can be time, that's it can be effort, true. It can be talents. Yeah.
So it's important to give back because we often
giving
say that
back articles, like you know, if you get offered to write an article for someone, and it's going to probably take you three hours to write this article. Do it for free.
Yeah, if you can do something, just do something.
You know, even if you can't afford to actually give money, that's okay. As you say, give back.
Yeah, you got to give back. Don't let prosperity destroy generosity. If you've been successful, or if you're becoming successful, if you've got an idea to be successful, start doing things today, because you'll be amazed at how quickly that will help you further your business or your idea, or just, you know, do something for someone that can't, you know, do it for themselves in whatever capacity.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it there, because otherwise I think what I'd like to go on to say next, I think that we'll be here until I get into trouble, because I have to do...
No, it's no problem, Gabby, but we want to just let the listeners know that we've got a free download on this subject.
Oh, yes. Where can they find that?
It's 7lawsofwealth.com.
Right.
Number 7, yep. lawsofwealth.com. And if you just go to the articles section, there's a whole section there, and you can download those as PDFs, and we'd encourage people to share them.
Fantastic. And that's all available on the internet, and I will, of course, post that on my Phoenix blog when I do it towards the end of the week. Thanks for coming in, Ben.
Thanks for having me, Gabby.
Take care.
Cheers.
Here's the travel.
Phoenix FM Travel News with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood.
Slow traffic on the M25 clockwise between junction 29 and 30. Very slow traffic on the A30 eastbound between the Five Bells Interchange in Basildon and the Saddlers Farm roundabouts. Now here in Brentwood, there's queuing traffic on the A10 23 High Street in both directions at the B185 Kings Road Junction in the roadworks area. Also affecting the B815 itself, Kings Road at the High Street Junction. And no doubt that does not make normal slow traffic on the Ingrave Road northbound any better. And there's slow traffic as usual on the Ongar Road southbound at the A1023 High Street Junction, and on the Shenfield Road westbound in Brentwood at the A128 Ongar Road Junction. In Chelmsford, there's slow traffic on the A114 Baddow Bypass in Chelmsford at the Army and Navy, also affecting the Van Diamond Road as well. Slow traffic on the A132 East Main northbound in Navenden between the A127 Southend Arterial Road and the A129 London Road Junction. And Metropolitan Line still delayed at Wembley Park.
Phoenix FM Travel with the Hair Company, Crown Street, Brentwood. Creating style with a smile. Book your appointment on 01277 222 864.
Skidmarks Pothole Watch. Helping you to look after your vehicle. Help us to help you. Visit skidmarksltd.com and click on Pothole Watch. Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
8 FM. Are your prized possessions protected at home? How would your business be affected if you were broken into and essential equipment stolen? Peak Security Group has over 30 years of security experience, keeping your home and business secure. From CCTV, door entry and gate systems to intruder alarms, we guarantee you will get the right advice for your needs with free double warranty cover. Call us today on 01268 77232 or visit us at peak-security.co.uk.
Digital TV switchover is coming to your area in April. Everybody needs to be ready. Do you need help in switching to digital TV? If you are 75 or over, registered blind or partially sighted, or eligible for disability benefits, the Switchover Help Scheme offers practical help to convert one of your TV sets to digital. To get the help you're entitled to, you need to reply to the letter the help scheme has sent you. It is not too late. Fill out the application form and return it to us, or phone our free help scheme, number 0800 4087656. The Switchover Help Scheme is run by the BBC under agreement with the government. For further information, visit the website helpscheme.co.uk.
Please, 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 please FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, tyre and wheel alignment specialists.
It would help if I had the microphone turned up. Now, on Saturday, 24th of March at 10 a.m. until 1:30, there's going to be a batch flower animal workshop organised by the Remus Memorial Horse Sanctuary, held at Little Farm, Butsbury Road, Butsbury, near Ingatestone. Find out what the batch remedies are and learn how to use them to help your pets. It's £25. Booking is essential. You can call them on 012-7735-6191 or email info@remussanctuary.org. All of those details, plus lots more events coming up for the remainder, are also on our website, phoenixfm.com/local events.
Phoenix FM Events Guide in association with Skidmarks, Prospect Way, Hutton. Your specialists for tyre and wheel alignment. Telephone Brentwood 210 414.